Oma Ganesha Gananjana Salakaya Chaksur Malitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swadrupa Kadam Mayam Vidati Swapadantikam Bandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Parakamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahadana Raghunatam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sarvaitam Sahadhutam Prajna Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahadana Lalita Shri Rasakam Vitam Sha Hey Krishna Karna Sindhu Dhinavanda Gatate Gopesha Gopika Kanda Radha Kandana Ostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishnavada Sudevi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanchakalpa Dhruvyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Vrcha Padita Rambhavevyo Vaishnavevyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasri Gaur Bhaktivrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama Rama Rama, Rama Hare Hare Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya
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 Yesterday we talked something about the 10th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. And at the end, Krishna said, but what is there for all this detailed knowledge for the single fragment I pervade and support this entire creation? Now in the 11th chapter, Arjuna asked Krishna to show him the universal form. And as we probably already know, it is not Arjuna says at the very beginning, Mad anugrahaya paramam guyam adyatmasam gidam yat priyotas Chastena, Mohayam Vigatam Hamas. So this Mohayam Vigatam Hamas, Arjuna's illusion has already been dispelled. Arjuna is not thinking at this time that Krishna is an ordinary person. He realizes that, as he said in the 10th chapter, that he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And now he's asking Krishna to show him the universal form. Bhavati Yohi Bhutanam. Shuto Vishtura Somaya, Tatakamala Patraksha, Mahatmim Api Chavya. I've heard from you about the appearance and disappearance of all living entities, and I've realized you're inexhaustible glorious. Evametai Dhitatatvam, Atmanam Parameshwaram, Trastumitramite Rupam, Aishvaryam Purushottama. Now he's asking to see that very opulent form of Krishna's. This is the 11th chapter, Prabhupada specifically, or especially like this chapter, to recite, because it's full of prayers. And we'll go through the chapter. One thing about the chapter is that it's very descriptive, less philosophical, but very descriptive. And the best way of reading descriptive narrations is to use our imagination. Doesn't mean that imagination, not that we're imagining it, but we should form images. We should try to see it. As a matter of fact, even in philosophy, we should try to form an image and see it. That's the whole idea of the books, is that we should try to form images, try to see what's being said, either through our practical experience or through some other references in the Bhagavatam. But in this particular thing, it'll talk about fire coming out of the mouths, unlimited hands and unlimited legs, unlimited arms, etc. We have experience of fire, we know what hands and legs look like, so we just have to imagine. And as soon as we start imagining, that means our mind is becoming spiritualized. I think most of the time we read quite superficially. We just kind of skim over and we think that's the way we're supposed to read. But actually, that's very superficial. What we're really supposed to do is see what's being said within our minds. And the more we do that, that's called Krishna consciousness. And then by practicing like that, then we're supposed to see outside the philosophy also. We're supposed to see the same thing outside that we're able to visualize inside. Now, of course, we're not going to see the universal form right away outside. But we're supposed to, when we look outside, we're supposed to see it in terms of the Shastra. Because it's not, our philosophies is nothing but Krishna and Krishna's energies. Therefore, the only thing that makes us think that there's something different is that we're trying to become Krishna. So as soon as we give up that desire to become Krishna by performing devotional service, so one of the services we can perform is to try to see things in relation to Krishna. That's what hearing is for, so we can see. And then when we see, then the next thing is to accept that we're Krishna's servants and to utilize His energies in His service, and then our life becomes perfect. We'll become Krishna conscious. The only thing is we see the world in such a way as we don't see it in relation to Krishna. Therefore, we think we're here all by ourselves. We're fighting a struggle to lord it over material nature. Sometimes we seem to be successful, and sometimes quite unsuccessful. Usually unsuccessful, but little victories we take as happiness, the so-called victories. When we're not completely under the water, when we get a little relief by being on top of the ocean of material miseries for a few seconds, we think we're in ecstasy. We've won the battle, and then right away we're back underneath the water again. Now Arjuna has asked, he wants to see this opulent form of Krishna's Mayavesha. Itha manyase yaritachakya mayadrastam iti prabhu yogeshvara ito metvam atmanam paradeh darshi atmanam avya. If you think I am able to behold the cosmic form, O my Lord, O Master of all mystic power, can kindly show me that unlimited universal self. And then Krishna says, Sri Bhagavan Vaisha, Paishame Partharupani, Shetashosta Sahasrashaha, Nana Vidani Divyani, Nana Vidani Divyani, Nana Varna Kritini Cha. Supreme Personality of God had said, My dear Arjuna, O son of Pritha, now see my opulences, hundreds of thousands of very divine and multicolored forms. We cannot expect to see the universal form, nor is it very important to see the universal form. But we can try and see the universal form. And one thing that we should notice when we're trying to visualize these things is that it's a different experience from visualizing mundane conceptions. As a matter of fact, if one is able to visualize, just like one is watching a movie, one will actually feel transcendental ecstasy, even visualizing the universal form of Krishna. Even if we don't see it directly, but just by trying to visualize it, then Krishna spiritualizes our consciousness. Matter of fact, we can't do anything by ourselves. It is Krishna who is supplying the vision to us because of our desire. And when we're designed to see, and according to our capacity, then Krishna will supply a vision to us. But that vision is spiritual because it's coming from His words. Although it may not be perfect, exactly what's being described, but it's as perfect as Krishna's we're able to see, Krishna is able to manifest before us, and it's as good as seeing the original universal form, at least good, as good in quality, according to, in proportion to our absorption in it, as freedom from material conceptions and doubts or whatever else, distraction. Therefore, we can concentrate on this, it's quite beneficial. Pashadi Pyanga Sudrudran Ashvinamaratastata Bahunyadrishta Purnani Paschaschayani Bharata. O best of the Bharata, see the different manifestations of the Adityas. Amongst the Adityas, how many Adityas do you know? There are 12 Adityas. Anyone know an Aditya? The sun god is an Aditya. there are the daityas and the adityas. And amongst the adityas, adityas were the demigods. And the daityas were the demons. So here are the sun god. I imagine the other principal demigods were all coming from Aditi, therefore they're called adityas, including Vamanadeva. And the Vasus, there are 8 Vasus. The Rudras, there are many Rudras. I think there are, how many Rudras? There are unlimited, but there, I think there's 8 principal Rudras? 11 Rudras, yes. Yeah, Mahas, Shiva. And the Ashvini Kumaras, there's 2. And all the other demigods. Behold many wonderful things that no one has ever seen or heard of before. So now, Krishna is speaking to Arjuna, telling him what he's going to see. So he hasn't quite revealed anything, he's just telling him. Ihaikatam jagat krishnam pashadya sacharacharam mamadehe gudakesha yas chanya drasamichasi. O Arjuna, whatever you wish to see, behold at once in this body of mine. The universal form can show you whatever you now desire to see, whatever you may want to see in the future. Everything moving and unmoving is here completely in one place. But you cannot see me with your present eyes, therefore I give you divine eyes, behold my misgathas. According to the Acharyas, Krishna had to lower Arjuna's vision, because Arjuna had spiritual vision, but in order to see the universal form, he needed the vision of the demigods. So Krishna gave him the vision of the demigods. That he says divya, but actually it's not transcendentalized, it's mundanized. Sanjaya said, O king, upon having spoken thus, now Sanjaya will start relating what Arjuna was seeing. That means that Sanjaya is seeing it also. The Supreme Lord of all mystic power, the personality of Godhead, displayed his universal form to Arjuna. Anekavatranayanam, aneka buddhadarshanam, aneka divyavaranam, divyanekodhitayudam, divyamalambaram, divyamalambaram daram, divyagandharanulaknam, sarvasrayamayam devam, anantavishvatomukam. Arjuna's who are in that universal form, unlimited now. So try to imagine that. So if in your mind you see all kinds of nows just appearing out everywhere, almost like a psychedelic experience, that's very good. Just imagine mouths everywhere. But who are those mouths? Actually, it's everyone's mouths. Unlimited, that's one way of looking at it. Unlimited and unlimited mouths, because everyone has a mouth. The human beings have mouths, the dogs have mouths, and everywhere there's a mouth. The mosquitoes have mouths. Everyone has a mouth. So Arjuna was seeing so many mouths. Everyone has a mouth trying to eat something. Unlimited eyes. Everyone has eyes. So Arjuna was seeing all these living entities everywhere. These eyes and mouths and eyes. Unlimited wonderful visions. Just imagine if you were above the earth planet and you saw all these planets and demigods and all these apsaras and demons and all these different types of living entities, seeing it all at once. The form was decorated with many celestial ornaments. It's a little hard to imagine what that looks like, how the form was decorated with celestial ornaments. You have to be an artist to be able to imagine that. And bore many divine upraised weapons. So we've seen pictures like that the artists have done. Yeah. He wore celestial garlands and garments, and many divine scents were smeared over his body. All was wondrous, brilliant, unlimited, all expanding. But we have to bring it to some level within our conception, otherwise then it becomes meaningless. Divi Sura Sahasra Siha Bhava Divyapad Udita Hidiva Sadrisi Sasyad Vasistasya Mahatmanaha. If hundreds of thousands of suns were to rise at once into the sky, their radiance might resemble the effulgence of the Supreme Person in that universal form. Hundreds of thousands of suns. Oh, be quite warm. You wouldn't have to worry about getting suntan. Hundreds of thousands of suns. At that time, Arjuna could see in the universal form of the Lord the unlimited expansions of the universe situated in one place, although divided into many, many thousands. In other words, he saw everything, but then he saw all the divisions also. Mother Yasoda saw the universal form two times. Advaita Acharya saw the universal form. Duryodhana saw the universal form. But Arjuna seeing the most complete universal form. Then bewildered and astonished, his hair standing on end, Arjuna bowed his head to offer obeisances, with folded hands began to pray to the Supreme Lord. Arjuna, who more or less had fought against Lord Shiva, who had fought in so many battles and was quite undisturbed, but when he's seen this universal form, he becomes bewildered and astonished. It's quite an amazing thing. Imagine if we could just see what was going on in India all at once. We'd be quite amazed. Or even on this planet. And this planet is just one little speck in the universe. And Arjuna was seeing everything. As we find out, he was seeing past, present, and future. So it was quite a, literally a mind blower. Now Arjuna, he begins to describe what he's seeing. Sanjaya is described, so he's describing what Arjuna was going through, how wonderful this universal form was. Now he describes specifically what Arjuna is going to describe what he's seeing. Arjuna Vacha, this is text 15. Pashami Devam Stabadevadehe Sarvam Satabuddha Vishesha Sangam Brahmanam Isham Kamalasanastam Rishim Sarvam Urigam Sudevyam. Arjuna said, "My dear Lord Krishna, I see assembled in your body all the demigods and various other living entities. I see Brahma sitting on the lotus flower, as well as Lord Shiva and all the sages and divine servants." Obviously, the demigods are going to be more prominent because they're much bigger than we are. We're just like we're insignificant little insects compared to the demigods. So Arjuna is not reporting about these little insects just crawling around on the earth planet. This is mostly the demigods, of which there are 33 million principal demigods, and there are many other demigods. But there are many times, I guess, Sariputta in his book, at least, he showed that Lord Shiva was about the size of Europe. And then his banyan tree, he's just sitting on this, he's just a little speck underneath this banyan tree, which is hundreds of, what is it, 100 yojanas or 1,000 yojanas? 800 miles, just a mere 800 miles high, little tiny tree. Therefore, mostly it's reporting on the demigods. The human beings are not even considered very important. Even a big mountain is just, you know, it's just a little pebble from the perspective that he's seeing things at. Aneka Bahudra Vatranetram Pashami Twam Sarvatanantarupam Nandam Namadyam Napunas Tavadim Pasyami Vishveshra Vishrupa. O Lord of the universe, O universal form, I see in your body many arms, bellies, mouths, and eyes expanded everywhere, without limit. I see in you no end, no middle, and no beginning. Your form is difficult to see because it's glaring effulgence, spreading on all sides like blazing fire or the immeasurable radiance of the sun. Yet I see this glowing form everywhere, adorned with various crowns, clubs, and discs. You are now Tvamaksharam Paramam Veditavyam Tvamasya Vishvatsiparam Nidanam Tvam Avyakshasvata Dharam Gopta Sanatadastvam Purushamutame. You are the supreme primal objective. You are the ultimate resting place of all this universe. You are inexhaustible, and you are the oldest. You are the maintainer of the eternal religion, the personality of Godhead. That is my opinion. You are without origin, middle or end. Your glory is unlimited. You have numberless arms, and the sun and moon are your eyes. I see you with blazing fire coming forth from your mouth, burning this entire universe by your own radiance. How many can visualize that? What does these... Can you visualize anything? Sun and the moon? Fire coming out of someone's mouth? That's all we have to do. The whole universe being full of Krishna's radiance. Although you are one, you are spread throughout the sky and the planets and all space between. O great one, seeing this wondrous and terrible form, all the planetary systems are perturbed. All the hosts of the demigods are surrendering before you and entering into you. Some of them, very much afraid, are offering prayers with folded hands. Hosts of great sages and perfected beings, crying all peace, are praying to you by singing the Vedic hymns. All the various manifestations of Lord Shiva, the Adityas, the Vasus, the Sadyas, the Vishvadevas, the two Ashvis, the Marus, the forefathers, the Gandharvas, the Yakshas, and the Asuras and the perfected demigods are beholding you in wonder. So somehow or another, whatever is being shown, which we may not be able to imagine so easily, the demigods, at least, and the higher Asuras, they were all seeing it. They were all bewildered and wonder. Almighty Armed One, all the planets with their demigods are disturbed at seeing your great form with its many faces, eyes, arms, thighs, legs, and bellies, and many terrible teeth. And as they're disturbed, so am I. So this is much greater than Star Wars or any kind of mundane vision or movie. The demigods would be very impressed by the mundane creations of modern cinema. But this is much more amazing. And it's live. O all-pervading Vishnu, seeing you with your many ready, radiant colors touching the sky, your gaping mouths and your great glowing eyes, my mind is perturbed by fear. I can no longer maintain my steadiness or equilibrium of mind. O Lord of Lords, O refuge of the world, please be gracious to me. I cannot keep my balance seeing thus your blazing, death-like faces and awful teeth. In all directions I'm bewildered. All the sons of Dhritarashtra, along with their allied kings, and Bhishma, Drona, Karna, and our chief soldiers also are rushing into your fearful mouths. And I see some trapped with heads smashed between your teeth. Now, here's some analogies. Yathanadinam bhavambhavega samudram eva vimukha javanti tatatavami naraloka vira vishanti vakranya vivishalanti. As the mighty waves of the rivers flow into the ocean, so do all these great warriors enter blazing into your mouths. Ita praptiptam dvalanam pratanga vishanti nashaya samrida vega tataiva nashaya vishanti lokas tavapi vatrani samrida vega. I see all people rushing full speed into your mouths as moths dash to destruction in a blazing fire. That's easy to visualize. See all of these moths just rushing into a blazing fire. Therefore, the next time you see moths rushing into a blazing fire, you can remember the universal form. Or when you go and see the rivers flowing into the ocean, you can remember the universal form. You can see all these warriors ending blazing into Krishna's mouth. O Vishnu, I see you devouring all people from all sides with your flaming mouths, covering all the universe with your effulgence. You are manifest with terrible, scorching rays. Now Arjuna is getting a little worried, so he's going to ask, what's going on? What am I seeing? What channel did I turn to? Akyakime ko bhavan ugrupo namostu te deva rapasida vigyasini shami vivanta madhyam nahi prajanami tava pravritim. O Lord of Lords, O fierce of form, please tell me who you are. I offer my obeisances unto you. Please be gracious to me. You are the primal Lord. I want to know about you, for I do not know what your mission is. Sri Bhagavan Vacha Kalosmi Lokashaya Kripa Rido Lokan Samahartu Maha Privritak Vitepi Tvam Navi Bhavishanti Sarve Yevastita Pratnu Keshiyoda. Supreme Personality of Godhead said, "Time I am, the great destroyer of the world. I have come here to destroy all people. With the exception of you, the Pandavas, all the soldiers here on both sides will be slain." Arjuna has seen the whole thing, and what he's mostly seeing is everyone's getting destroyed. He's not describing, oh, there's Hawaii and people are surfing. There's the heavenly planets and the Nandakandana forest and they're all enjoying the Mandakini River. No, he's seeing everyone's getting burned to death by the rays of Krishna's effulgence. And by time, this is destroying everything and everyone here. Generally, we have a very sentimental vision that actually everything is really all right. And if we just, you know, make a little progress, then we can solve all our problems. But the whole world is just one scorching, blazing fire. And everyone's getting burned. And time is destroying everything. All our intelligence to make everything very nice here ultimately prove a failure. Sorry for being pessimistic. I just get one, you know, just get a little bit more money and get one more degree and do a little bit more exercise. Everything should be all right. Yes, it'll be all right for a few seconds and then you get scorched to death by the blazing fire of time and you'll be in another body making plans. I just get that worm, everything will be all right. Tasmatvamutishi Sholavasva Jitva Shatrum Bhukshva Rajan Sramidam Mayavate Niyatapuravameva Nimitra Matram Bhavasavasachin. Therefore, get up, prepare to fight, win glory, conquer enemies, and enjoy a flourishing kingdom. They are put to death by my arrangement, and you, O Savasachi, can be but an instrument in the fight. This is very important. The only thing we're really hoping to do is not to become great or famous or powerful or strong or happy or anything. We're just trying to become an instrument for Krishna. And if we become an instrument to Krishna, even if we're put in the most miserable condition, we'll be in bliss. And if we're not an instrument for Krishna, that even if we're put in the most amazing material situation, we'll be completely in anxiety, suffering. Therefore, our real job, our real duty, our real goal, our real self-interest is simply to find out what Krishna wants us to do. To actually know clearly what Krishna wants us to do, and then to do that, to please Him, be an instrument, then the result is we'll become, Krishna will reveal Himself. We reveal everything, not only just Himself, everything will be revealed, and we'll be able to watch Krishna doing everything. We'll give up, our false ego will disappear, that we're the doer, that we're going to get something special for ourselves here, and we'll see that the only thing that's valuable here is just become an instrument for Krishna and watch Krishna do everything. Yes. Arjuna, you get some credit for desiring. In other words, although Krishna, we become an instrument for Krishna, but we also desire. We desire what Krishna desires. And Krishna likes to give Arjuna the credit. He likes to give his devotees the credit. Because after all, this material world is just made out of Krishna's energy, the unconscious external energy, and the glory is when the devotee wants to utilize it in his service. That's when it the activities become glorious. Therefore, it's Krishna and Arjuna, Nara and Narayana. They're both glorious because they're desiring to save the conditioned souls. Therefore, the devotees, by Krishna, is given all the credit, and of course, the devotees understand how Krishna takes the credit. Dronam cha, Bhishmam cha, Jayadratham cha, Karnam Titanyam api Yodaviriyam, Maya hatam stvam jayima vitishta, Dudashva jaytasi rene sapatnan, Drona, Bhishma, Jayadratha, Karna, and the other great warriors have already been destroyed by me. Therefore, kill them and do not be disturbed. Simply fight and you will vanquish your enemies in battle. By Krishna's arrangement, they were all brought together. And Krishna says, whether you fight or not, they're going to be killed. But you can fight. Take the credit for it. Sanjaya said to Dhritarashtra, O King, after hearing these words from the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the trembling Arjuna offered obeisances with folded hands again and again. He fearfully spoke to Lord Krishna, and a faltering voice as follows. Arjuna said, O Master of the senses, the world becomes joyful upon hearing your name, and thus everyone becomes attached to you. Although the perfected beings offer you their respectful homage, the demons are afraid and they flee here and there. All this is rightly done. So Arjuna is able to see, in that universal form, all the demigods and the demons, seeing the universal form also. The demigods were offering prayers along with the perfected beings, and the asuras were fleeing in every direction because they saw that this form was going to destroy them. That's the most amazing thing, is that although we see that the whole world is grinding everyone to death, the whole world is meant for death. What was that verse in the Mahabharata? How does it begin? The Hani Hani Bhutani Gachanti Yamalayam Sheshastara Inshanti Kimascharyam Bhattaparam. That Yudhisthira Maharaj said that the most amazing thing is that although everyone is seeing that their father has died, their mother has died, their grandparents have all died, some of their friends have died, their pets have died, but still, we're thinking, somehow or another, I'm going to live here for a long, long time. Oh, great one, greater than even Brahma. Now, these are the prayers by Arjuna. Kasmachite namaram reina mahatman kariyashe brahmanopyari kartre anatadeveshe jigan nivasa tam aksharam sad asat tat paramya. O Great One, greater than even Brahma, you are the original creator. Why then should they not offer their respectful obeisances unto you? O Limitless One, God of gods, refuge of the universe, you are the invincible source, the cause of all causes, transcendental to this material manifestation. We shouldn't think that this is just some kind of imaginary poetry written by Vyasadeva. Vyasadeva has explained that we're not the body. Well, Krishna has explained to Arjuna that we're not this body. He's explained about karma and jnana and yoga, elaborately explained these systems. Now he's explained about how everything is coming from him. And now this very inconceivable, wonderful form is being displayed. And Arjuna, seeing this form, is full of wonder and starts to praise Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Normally, Arjuna is just in love with Krishna. He doesn't really think that Krishna is sourceable. But now, seeing this universal form, Krishna's expansion for control, for manifesting the universe, he's talking about how Krishna is above Brahma, etc., etc. So this is all for our benefit. So we don't take Krishna as some ordinary person. We shouldn't think that the deities on the altar, their statues, or that even if there are Krishna, he smiles whatever I do, it doesn't really matter what I do. But he may be smiling, but we do the wrong thing, we'll get smacked. Someone will walk into the temple and step on us. Even the wrong thought. Have you ever noticed that sometimes? Even we have the wrong thought, Krishna tries to correct, correct this, first of all, in a more subtle way, maybe we stub our toe, we think, oh, it couldn't possibly be connected with my thought. My thought was absolute and pure. My analysis of that devotee was 100% right on. So it couldn't possibly be that my toe getting stubbed has anything to do with my attitude towards that devotee. He deserves all the envy and just whatever else, criticism I'm giving to that particular devotee. And if that doesn't work, then someone comes along and criticizes us or does something. Gradually Krishna tries to give us some warning, a little bit, and then finally the big hammer comes down and hits us on the head. We won't listen to anything else. Yeah, he tries softly. He reciprocates. If it's a little thought, not so much. If it's some actual sinful activity, then it may get a little heavier, the reaction. The problem is that we have this tendency in the material world to try and separate what we're going through from reality. We always think of ourselves, if anything good happens to us, we take the credit, because I'm such a good person anyhow. It should have been better, actually. It's not worthy of it. And if something not so good happens, immediately we blame everyone else on it. And if we believe in God, ultimately it's God's fault. But Arjuna goes on, you are the original personality of Godhead, the oldest, the ultimate sanctuary of this manifested cosmic world. You are the knower of everything, and you are all that is knowable. You are the supreme refuge above the material modes. A limitless form, this whole cosmic manifestation is pervaded by it. Arjuna's claim to the universal form. Yeah, vayarimam nirvaranash shanka prajapati swampati tamahascha namo namaste sahasra kritva punashtabhu yogi namo namaste. You are air, you are the supreme controller, you are fire, you are water, and you are the moon. You are Brahma, the first living creature, and you are the great grandfather. Therefore, I offer my respectful obeisances unto you 1,000 times, and again, and yet again. So there's air, supreme controller, fire, water, you are the moon, everything is Brahma, the great grandfather. So Arjuna is seeing all these things and offering respects again and again. Mood is completely that of reverence and awe. That's kindred.
Earlier, Krishna recently was the fire.
Yeah. As it says, our Acharya said, there's some reputation here. But because Arjuna is in ecstasy, he's just like if you taste strawberry ice cream, if you like strawberry ice cream. It's not if you like it, you taste it, you think, oh, strawberry ice cream, I already tasted it. No, you want some more of it. Because in the material world, you get tired. One devotee was working in an ice cream factory. You heard that story? And he broke into with his friend at night into the ice cream factory. I guess he had a key or something. But the only ice cream was all in 10-gallon tubs, which is like, you know, how many, 40 liters or something? And if they started to eat any of the ice cream, they had to finish it. So they each had to eat 20 liters of ice cream. So needless to say, you know, the first liter or 2 liters, they were doing all right. But by the time they got up to like the 10th liter, they were sick of ice cream. And after that, he said he never ate ice cream again. That was the last time he ever ate ice cream. He got so sick of it. Yes.
So it's by a friend who I worked with, and he was an ice cream taste tester. And he said that he used to get paid to taste ice cream.
Yeah.
He didn't gain all his credit.
But in any case, this is transcendental. So the more Arjuna sees it, the more he tastes it, the more he's experiencing it. Obeisances to you from the front, from behind, from all sides. On bounded power, you are the master of limitless might. You are all-pervading, and thus you are everything. Sakeiti Madvam Prasavam Yiraktvam Hey Krishna Hey Yadava Hey Sakiti Ajanata Mahimanam Tavedam Maya Pramadat Pranayena Vapi Yachchavaha Sartama Sakritosi Vihara Shayana Sabhojaneshu Ekota Yurputra Taksamatram Tatshamaye Twamaham Aprameyam. Seeing you as my friend, I have rashly addressed you. O Krishna, O Yadava, O my friend, not knowing your glories, please forgive whatever I may have done in madness or in love. I have dishonored you many times, jesting as we relaxed, lay on the same bed, or sat or ate together, sometimes alone and sometimes in front of many friends. O infallible one, please excuse me for all those offenses. Now Arjuna is realizing how great Krishna is. So now he's more or less, he's under Mahamaya instead of Yogamaya. He's better off, of course, under Yogamaya. And we find out that later on he'd like to get back to the Yogamaya. It's not that realizing how great Krishna is better than realizing how wonderful Krishna is as a friend or as a child. You are the father of the complete cosmic manifestation of the moving and the non-moving. You are its worshipful chief, the supreme spiritual master. No one is equal to you, nor can anyone be one with you. How then can anyone be greater than you within the three worlds, O Lord of immeasurable power? So if we go to this, we see the deity, of course we see, for instance, here, Radha Madhava, start praying. He's the father of the complete cosmic. It's nice to do that. But it, somehow or another, it's not exactly the same mood as Radha Madhava. He's simply playing there, happily playing on the flute. But at the same time, by his energy, he's created the cosmic manifestation because of the desire of the souls. By his agents, it's all going on. But he's not at all disturbed by it. It's not that you look and see Radha Madhava one day and there, you know, his flute is, can't play the flute anymore, it's just, wow, it's just so bad. It's all so bad. And it's getting worse. I've been doing this since time immemorial, just creating, destroying this place. No one's learning anything. What to do? Krishna's not at all disturbed by it. The only ones who are disturbed by it is ourselves. What's that? Yeah, he's independent because he knows the truth behind it all. He's happy just when he sees everyone coming and doing some service for him. So just even seeing him, he becomes very happy. That's his life. This is beginning of reality for the conditioned soul. So he's here very happily, seeing that the conditioned souls are coming back to him. You're the Supreme Lord, be worshipped by every living being. As I fall down to offer you my respectful obeisances and ask your mercy, as a father tolerates the impotence of a son, the friendly impertinence of a friend, or wife with familiarity of a partner, please tolerate the wrongs that may have done you. After seeing this universal form which I have never seen before, I am gladdened, but at the same time my mind is disturbed with fear. Therefore please bestow your grace upon me and reveal again your form as the personality of Godhead, O Lord of Lords, O God of the universe. O universal form, O thousand-armed Lord, I wish to see in your forearm form with helmeted head and with club, wheel, conch, and lotus flowers in your hands. I long to see you in that form. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, my dear Arjuna, after seeing, my dear Arjuna, happily have I shown you by my internal potency the supreme universal form within the material world. No one before you has ever seen this primal form, unlimited and full of glaring effulgence. O best of the Kuru warriors, no one before you has ever seen this universal form of mine, for neither by studying the Vedas, nor by performing sacrifices, nor by charity, nor by pious activities, nor by severe penances can I be seen in this form in this world. You have been perturbed and bewildered by seeing this horrible feature of mine. Now let it be finished. My devotees, be freed from all disturbances. With a peaceful mind, you can now see the form you desire. In other words, Arjuna saw the whole universal form, and we're just seeing a little part of it. And as Arjuna was disturbed, we're all disturbed. But he was had enough experience that he wanted to see Krishna again in his original form as Shyamasundar. So we should also follow Arjuna's footsteps, and we should go to and see the deities every day. Rather than just looking at the universal form all the time, we should see Krishna in his original form. Therefore, he highly manifests himself as the Archavigraha. Vijaya said to Dhritarashtra, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, having spoken thus to Arjuna, displayed his real forearm form, and at last he showed his two-arm form, thus encouraging the fearful Arjuna. When Arjuna thus saw Krishna in his original form, he said, O Janardhan, seeing this human-like form so very beautiful, I am now composed in mind, I am restored to my original nature. Supreme Personality of God has said, my dear Arjuna, this form of mine you are now seeing is very difficult to behold. Even the demigods are ever seeking the opportunity to see this form which is so dear. The form you are seeing with your transcendental eyes cannot be understood by simply by studying the Vedas, nor by undergoing serious penances, nor by charity, nor by worship. It is not by these means that one can see me as I am. So now the most significant verse, the next two verses, the most significant in the chapter. Bhakti Vananaya Satya Ahamevam Vidorjana Drastum Ichum Ite Gyatum Drastum Kitatvena Praveshtum Chaparantava. My dear Arjuna, only by undivided devotional service can I be understood as I am, standing before you, and this can be seen directly. Only in this way can you enter into the mystery of my understanding. In other words, real knowledge means to meditate on devotional service. Without devotional service, it's all ignorance. There's no knowledge. We may think technical knowledge is knowledge, but it's just technical knowledge. That's all it is. It's another phase of ignorance. By technical knowledge, we'll never realize who we are, how the laws of nature work, or how Krishna works, or who Krishna is. Only by unalloyed devotional service. And when we become aware of Krishna, then we can begin to enter into the mysteries of his understanding and understand everything as it really is, rather than as we're imagining it to be. And what is that devotional service? Krishna explains in the last verse, mat karmakrit, mat paramo, mat bhakta, sangavaridita, nivaira sarabhuteshu, yaksamam eti pandava. My dear Arjuna, he who engages in my pure devotional service, free from the contaminations of fruitive activities and mental speculation, he who works for me and makes me the supreme goal of his life, and is friendly to every living being, he certainly comes to me. So this is a very important consideration. We have to become friendly to all living entities. That's quite a trick. Because we're conceiving people in terms of their bodily or mental situation. Therefore, we're taking some people as our friends, some people as our enemies, neutral, etc., whatever. But when we see things properly, then we'll see that no one is really our friend, no one is really our enemy. Everyone is Krishna's instrument, helping us make progress in devotional service. And contamination is a fruit of activities. Because we've desired to enjoy the material world, so now we're being impelled by the same desires we've had in the past to enjoy again in the same way. And mental speculation. According to those desires we developed since time immemorial, we're seeing the whole world in terms of those desires. That's our vision. Therefore we see man, woman, rich, poor, happy, distressed. We're just concocting everything. American, whatever. Just a whole concoction. But actually, there's nothing but Krishna's energies and the souls who are struggling here in order to enjoy the material nature. There's nothing else but that going on. In the name of so many different isms and philosophies, that's really reality. Everything else is just imagination. And if we dedicate our work for Krishna, making him the goal of our lives, and become friendly to all his creation, then we can actually become Krishna conscious. Here's the formula it's given. Arjuna wants to see the universal form, that this whole cosmic manifestation comes from Krishna. That's what Arjuna saw. It's all under Krishna's control. We don't have to worry about it. We don't have to see the universal form. It's a horror show. It's not very desirable to see. But we should try. We should try to serve Krishna in the way he puts here. We shouldn't work according to our previous fruitive activities. We should just work for Krishna. We should give up our mental speculation, understand we're in ignorance. We're crazy. Everyone in this material world is a madman or mad woman, because we're thinking out of the cells of the body. So we should just take it for granted that we're just walking insane asylums. Give up and try, realize that our whole vision is full of mental speculation. And just accept like that. Don't be disturbed. Pray for Krishna's mercy. And the best way to do it, one of the best ways, is go to class every day. Doesn't matter who's giving class. Go. Then you'll start realizing, oh, I don't want to go to class. Not because I stayed up later last night, because I don't like the person giving class. I have a whole story about the person giving class, therefore I don't want to go, because I don't like them. I don't want to hear anything from them. Therefore, the best way of becoming neutral is go to class. Go to the kirtan. Try and hear people chant. Not only hear ourselves chant, hear other people chant. Try and appreciate their chanting. Then there's so much progress. It's not that we have to do something amazing to make progress. We just have to hear other people chant Hare Krishna and appreciate that they're also Krishna's servants. Then our relationship with them automatically will be improved. Will improve. We'll be able to, next time they talk to us, some of that wall that we put in front of ourselves and them will have disappeared. And if we don't pay attention, we don't listen to people chant, then it's just creating more of a wall, keeping the same wall that was there. And when we don't connect with Krishna's other parts and parcels, we're not connecting with Krishna either. Friendly to every living entity. So that we should understand everyone is just like we are. Crazy, stark, raving mad, walking around in some bubble of illusion, getting the reactions of their fruitive activities. But we should be compassionate. We should realize that just as I'm crazy, they're also mad. But their destination, those who are engaged in devotional service, is very auspicious. They'll get over their madness and they'll fall in love with Krishna, just like we're trying to do. And all their problems will be solved. And we can be friendly to them. We don't have to pity them. We don't have to feel envious of them. We don't have to feel superior to them or inferior, become envious and feel inferior to them. We should realize that everyone has an opportunity to serve Krishna. I may be doing some spectacular service and everyone's thinking I'm such a great personality. Or I may be doing something very small. But the important thing is whether I'm doing it for Krishna. Whether I'm establishing my relation with Krishna. And if someone is doing something wonderful, and then we should think, oh, this is very nice. They're doing very nice service to Krishna, and Krishna is pleased, and they're establishing their relationship. And their relationship with Krishna is more relishable to me than my own relationship with Krishna. When we hear about Mother Jasoda, Nanda Maharaj, loving Krishna, generally we don't become envious and thinking, oh, you know, maybe they used to beat him. Mother Jasoda, you know, tied him with rope. We don't become envious because we think, oh, how nice, such a loving relationship and feelings they have. So we should also think like that with the other devotees, how nice their relationship with Krishna is. Any questions? Yes.
What was the purpose of showing the universal?
Because people wouldn't believe it. Of course, they don't believe it anyhow. Even after hearing about it. But if we read the literature and we understand part of it, we develop some faith, then we develop faith that Krishna did show the universal form. And of course, Prabhupada also writes that other people may come along and say that they're a Krishna, and then we can ask them to show the universal form. If you're a Krishna, show me your universal form.
Chapter in Bhagavatam I was studying in the morning in chapter 3, first canto. Doesn't it say that the universal form is understood of incarnation because it's imaginary?
Yeah.
What is it, the imaginary? Because
means visible. Yeah. Imaginary means it's formed out of the imagination of the living entities. And Krishna's imagination. It's Krishna's dreaming. It's not eternal. It's just temporary. The energy is real, but the forms are just temporary. They're coming and going.
I've tried to understand why it says imaginary.
Yeah, imaginary means that Krishna is, by his imagination, is coming into being. It's real in the sense that it's happening. But just like if you became a billionaire for 100,000,000,000th of a second. So it would be almost like a dream, right, that you were a billionaire. Isn't that right? It didn't really happen. It went so quick, it was just like a dream. So that's what dreams are. That's what it means, imagination.
Yes, you were there.
Yes.
In one interpreter, I forget, in the sequence, it does mention that the Virat root is imaginary, and therefore it's not.
It's temporary.
Therefore, it's not an object of meditation for the devotees. Because there's no possibility of service connection.
How can you address the universal form?
Yeah. And the no reciprocation, no loving connection.
Yeah, it'd be very hard to address the universal form. Or how much food would you have to offer to it, or to satisfy it? But I guess some of the devotees want to see. It's interesting, they heard about it. Yeah, but they don't take it very seriously. Because their real mood is loving service to Krishna. So we'll take a 5-minute break. Yeah.
This is the first time Krishna is showing his form.
In this millennium.
Yeah. Like earlier, minutes ago, he gave his Bhagavata to Sambhasambhava.
He didn't necessarily have to show the universal form to him.
He didn't show?
No. Why should he have to show the universal form? He may not have. It's not that every time Krishna speaks the Bhagavad Gita, it's the same thing. No, he's speaking to the sun god. He has to speak of different aspects.
The essence would be there, right?
Yeah, the essence is there. It's not that Krishna says, well, you know, it's pretty late, I don't know if I can go see the sun god. Here's a CD, just send it to him. No, it's according to time, place, and audience. But the essence is the same thing. We're not the body. Sun God's not his body either. He may have a false ego. You got to work for Krishna. You got to surrender. You have to think of him. You have to become his devotee. You have to worship him and offer your obeisances to him. Then you'll come to Krishna. So it's the same message. Give up lust, anger, and greed, etc. Nothing different, but it may be explained a little bit differently. Whether he had to show this universal form to the sun god, at least here it says that Arjuna, for the first time he's showing it to Arjuna. Maybe Arjuna saw it previously in another universe, whatever. But here that's what it says, whatever it means. It's not like every day, you know, Krishna shows, you know, you open the curtains and there's a new universal form he's shown. Yeah.
Isn't one main feature of this universal display that he saw the whole battle happen before? It was a preview?
He saw everything, including the battle.
That's just a feature.
He saw something. I don't know if he just saw, you know, a play. He saw Arjuna exactly what was going to happen. But he saw these, somehow or another, that they were being smashed, they were being killed. How they were being killed, that may not have been seen by Arjuna. Otherwise, it would have been little preemptive, little, you know, it wouldn't be very exciting for Arjuna fighting the battlefield. No, here I go again, there's Drona, he's done, and there's Bhishma, he's finished. Let's see, and tomorrow it's Karna. Let's see, he picks up the wheel and I go, and Karna says, don't do it, and Krishna says, do it, and I shoot him and he falls down dead, and that's it. No, it wouldn't be very exciting. But somehow or another, you saw that they were being smashed. it's not very easy for us to figure out exactly what Arjuna was saying, but we can accept he saw something extraordinary. And not that we have to think, oh, I wish I could see that universal form, because maybe if you think like that enough, maybe you will see it. Yeah. And then you have, you know, it's like someone who couldn't come down from an LSD trip, you know, just wandering around. What happened? Oh, he saw the universal form. He hasn't recovered. He's out there somewhere. Yes? No, he lowered the vision. Because Arjuna, with his vision, he saw Krishna everywhere. But in order to see the universal form everywhere, he had to lower his vision to that of the demigods. Otherwise, with Arjuna's mentality and his vision, he would just be seeing Krishna everywhere in the universal form. So, for us. Because we should understand that Krishna has said, I'm all this opulence. And practically speaking, people would have said, well, Krishna just said like that. But then he showed Arjuna. Now, of course, the proof of Vedic Shruti is that if one hears it with perfect attention, one will actually experience it themselves. Therefore, Krishna showed this, and if we hear it with perfect attention, we'll be able to experience it. Maybe, I'm not saying that we're going to see exactly what Arjuna saw, but we'll be in ecstasy hearing about this, and everything will be all revealed to us. Not maybe exactly what Arjuna was saying, but we'll come to a level of consciousness where we'll all be perfectly clear what was going on. What that is, I can't tell you, because I'm not there. But we'll be in ecstasy just hearing about it. And we'll have no doubt that Arjuna saw the universal form of Krishna. Yes?
On the point of Arjuna's vision being lowered, something came up in Bhakti Shastri, and discussing how the wonder Adbhut Rasa is secondary rasa, and Arjuna was Sakya rasa, so that the primary rasa became covered with the secondary rasa, so that there was like the lowering of his vision, and there'd be discussion about that.
Yeah, that's so. But the Acharya specifically mentioned that Krishna changed his vision. He gave him demigod eyes. In other words, the demigods, their relation with Krishna is not in the five primary relationships. It's tinged with material consciousness. Because not that Arjuna became tinged, but his vision, he got the same vision that one who is tinged with material consciousness gets. Or Adbhuta Rasa.
So
yeah.
On the Arjuna side,
from Jayana? No, all the demigods, the suras, everyone was seeing. No.
But they saw the same thing? Probably not.
Yeah, everyone sees according to their... No, Arjuna Sanjaya saw exactly what was going on. Yeah. Because he was seeing through the mercy of Vyasadeva, and he conveyed it to Dhritarashtra.
Because the consciousness is not exactly the same.
Well, Sanjaya was a pure devotee.
Oh, that's his qualification. Okay. He's a
pure devotee. He's a devotee of Vyasadeva. He was able to see it, otherwise he couldn't relate it. He saw exactly what was going on. And the demigods and the asuras, they saw pretty much what was going on too. Therefore some of them were offering prayers, other ones were fleeing. So there was a big show going on. How it went on is inconceivable to us, because we have to watch, we have to turn on a television set. But they saw it within their hearts. We can do that a little bit. You can just imagine something going on, see, visualize the picture of Lord Chaitanya dancing, and try and imagine that it's going on, like you're entering into it. So we can do that. Our minds are quite expansive. You can actually enter into a picture and just live there, actually, in the consciousness. Okay, 5 o'clock. Then we have a half an hour left to do the 12th chapter. 25 minutes for the 5-minute kirtan. Actually, why don't we just go through?
I want to just have a book here to tell you.
Thank you. Bhagavad Gita called devotional service is the last of the six chapters, the middle six chapters. Arjuna, he again, after a little change of subject matter, due to practical considerations, Arjuna is again asking, which is better, to meditate on you directly or to meditate on you in personal aspect? Above this universal form, of course, is Brahman. Arjuna has already concluded material nature is not very desirable, but there's Brahman. So now the question is, what about above the material nature, Brahman, which is better, you or Brahman? Now, as conclusively, Krishna will say, will explain. Arjuna asked the question, Arjuna Vacha, Evam Satatam Yundaye, Bhaktis Tvam Paripasate, Ye Chatyaksham Avyatam, Kesham Ke Yoga Vitatama. Arjuna inquired, which are considered to be more perfect, those who are always properly engaged in your devotional service, or those who worship the impersonal Brahman, the unmanifest? Then Arjuna, Krishna Neely says, Sri Bhagavan Vasha, Maya Vesha Mano Yema, Mithyu Tao Pasite, Shraya Pareo, Pe Tas, Te Meyu Tadmo Madaha. Supreme Personality of Godhead said, those who fix their minds in my personal form, always engaged in worshipping me with great and transcendental faith, are considered by me to be the most perfect. We may think, oh, what's the big deal about Brahman? Who wants Brahman? But if we were factually situated on the Brahman platform, we'd have absolutely no worries, no anxiety, no fear. We'd be on the eternal platform. Think of how prasanatma, how joyful we'd be if we were on the platform where we're going to be there forever. Quite attractive, wouldn't it be? In the mythology, people are always looking for the fountain of youth. Or if we learn that another 100 years was added to our life, we think, oh wow, what a relief. Oh, if you were the same, you didn't grow older. You had the same physical body you have now for another 100 years. Or you grew younger every day. But that's only 100 years. That's nothing. Brahma is in anxiety about his lifespan. He's already 50 years old. And he lives for 311 trillion years. And he's in anxiety that he's growing old. He only has 150 trillion years left. And he's thinking it goes quick. The last 50 years went pretty quick. Yeah. So what's the speak of Brahman? There's nothing more that you can get apart from Krishna consciousness than Brahman realization. So you realize you're going to be forever on that platform. Those who fully worship the unmanifested that lies beyond the perception of the senses, the all-pervading, inconceivable, unchangeable, fixed and immovable, the impersonal conception of the absolute truth, by controlling the various senses, being equally disposed to everyone, such persons engage in the welfare of all, at last achievement. For those whose minds are attached to the unmanifested, impersonal future of the Supreme, advancement is very troublesome, to make progress in that discipline, it is always difficult for those who are embodied. So it's a very difficult process to realize that we're eternal by the indirect process. Therefore, Krishna says, Yesu Sarvani Karmani, Maya Sanyasi Matraha, Ananya Naiva Yogena, Mamdayantu Pasate, Teshamaham Samudarta, Mrityusam Sarasagara, Bhavamina Sharatparta, Maya Vesha Chetasa. But for those who worship me, giving up all their activities unto me, and being devoted to me without deviation, engaged in devotional service, and always meditating upon me, having fixed their minds upon me, O Son of Pritha, for them I am the swift deliverer from the ocean of birth and death. Mayeva mana adatsva, maye buddhim niveshaya, vivashi shashi maeva adoravam nisamshaya. Just fix your mind upon me, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and engage all your intelligence in me, thus you'll live with me always without any doubt. Intelligence is meant primarily to utilize the senses. You get something in the material world. We're always trying to see what's going on so we can figure out how to react to it. So intelligence gives us a perspective of what's going on, and then generally either we flee or we become attached to it. But here Krishna says, use all your intelligence, see everything related to me, and fix your mind upon me. Do everything for me. Utilize all your intelligence means to do all your activities for me. It's included in there. That's the first thing Krishna suggests. We've already heard that. But we think all of it's not possible. Therefore, the next thing is Atachi Tam Samadatum Nasatchma Sim Nayistira Abhyasana Yoganitam Ma Ishantin Dananja. If you can't do that, then just try to follow the regular principles of Bhakti Yoga, and this way try to develop the desire to obtain it. That's why we're going to Mangalarati. That's why we're hearing the classes, because we want to develop attachment for Krishna. We're not doing it because it's socially acceptable, because sometimes it's socially unacceptable.
There is social pressure.
Yeah, we're not just doing it as social pressure.
There is.
That's good. Otherwise, we probably wouldn't do it at all. Yes, because we are in Maya. Just reminding us that we're in Maya. And when we go there, we should still think. Not that I'm here, I've made it. Everything's all right. Doesn't matter what I do, I think now. No, it's an opportunity to absorb the mind. Just like when we're doing the Guru Vastika prayers or chant, so we should try and absorb the mind. And thinking what the words mean, visualizing what they mean, remembering what somehow or another absorb the mind in it. Try to appreciate the singer, the devotees who are singing. Try to have some appreciation of what's going on. Not that I'm here and I don't really want to be here, but I can't walk out because then I'll get really criticized. But as long as I'm here, I can think about all those other rascals who aren't here. Think about how they're, I always thought I was the only real devotee. Now I know it for sure. Look around. They're not there. It's still not there. They're never here. We have to develop proper perspective. We should feel happy that we're there, fortunate that by the mercy of our spiritual master, by the mercy of the devotees, by the mercy of Krishna, by the mercy of the deities, we're there. And we have an opportunity to think of Krishna and absorb ourselves in service. It's an opportunity to become Krishna conscious. And think of, unfortunately, others are not here. It would be nice if they were. It would be so much nicer. Krishna would be so much happier. Practice somehow or another to absorb the consciousness in Krishna, absorb the activities in Krishna consciousness. But if we can't do that, then Krishna says, Abhyasepya samardosi mat karma paramo bhava parartam api karmani korvan siddhim avapsisi. If you can't do that, then just try to work for me. At least try to give off the results. Just try to work for me, because by working for me, you'll come to the perfect state. By working for Krishna, offering him the results of our work, then we'll realize that we should be thinking of Krishna. We realize that offering anything to Krishna puts our mind in Krishna. It's so nice to think of Krishna. That why don't we just work in such a way as we're always thinking of Krishna? Why do we have to only think of Krishna when we offer him the results? Why not think of Krishna all the time? Therefore, one will come to the stage of sadhana bhakti, where one will try to think about Krishna all the time. Then if you can't do that, if however you're unable to work in this consciousness of me, then try to act, giving up all the results of your work, and try to be self-situated. Now, going to the next one is, if you cannot take to this practice, then engage yourself in the cultivation of knowledge. Better than knowledge, however, is meditation, and better than meditation is renunciation of the fruits of action, with such renunciation you can obtain peace of mind. So according to our acharyas, this refers to the previous verse, not the last verse, but the one before that, where Krishna says, just work for me, giving up the results, karmarpana. That if we can't do something for Krishna, then Krishna says, better try to do the indirect process, beginning with doing dutiful work, renunciation of the fruits of the work, because we're doing it dutifully, rising up to the knowledge that we're not the body, rising up to the knowledge of the meditation, the super soul, meditating in trance upon this Paramatma, and then coming to Krishna consciousness. So if we can't take to the direct process, which Krishna really recommends, then we can try to take the indirect process. Now Krishna, in the final verses in the chapter, will glorify the qualities of his devotees, the Ananya Bhakti. Actually, most of these qualities are the mode of goodness that Krishna will glorify. Therefore, only the last verse, those who are completely engaging themselves with faith in the supreme goal, those are the ones who are really very dear to Krishna. But these are qualities that are developed by the practice of devotional service, becoming tolerant and humble, especially appreciating others, one will develop all good qualities. So we'll just read these qualities. One who is not envious, but is a kind friend to all living entities, who does not think himself a proprietor and is free from false ego, who is equal in both happiness and distress, who is tolerant, always satisfied, self-controlled, and engaged in devotional service with determination, his mind and intelligence fixed on me, such a devotee mind is very dear to me. He who for whom no one is put into difficulty, and is not disturbed by anyone, whose equipoise in happiness and distress, fear and anxiety is very dear to me. My devotee is not dependent on the ordinary course of activities, who is pure, expert, without cares, free from all pains, and not striving for some result, is very dear to me. One who neither rejoices nor grieves, who neither laments nor desires, renounces both auspicious and inauspicious things, such a devotee is very dear to me. One who is equal to friends and enemies, who is equipoise in honor and dishonor, heat and cold, happiness and distress, fame and infamy, who is always free from contaminated association, always silent and satisfied with anything, who doesn't care for any residents, who is fixed in knowledge and who is engaged in devotional service, such a person is very dear to me. Ye tu dharma mitamidam yutoktam paripaskate, shradhana ma parama bhaktas te tivaje. Those who follow this imperishable path of devotional service, completely engage themselves with faith, they can be the supreme goal of very, very dear to them. So those are the persons who are actually dear to Krishna. Those who are following the imperishable path of devotional service, making Krishna the supreme goal. This chapter was seen in the other chapters that we can become Krishna conscious by doing dutiful work. That way we become aloof from the desire to enjoy the material nature. And then higher than that, we can see things in Krishna consciousness. We can see things with knowledge. That will also make us more detached from the material world and give us all good qualities. And then further than that, we can think about Krishna. We can actually see things in relation to Krishna and think about Krishna himself personally. And more than that, we can try to do everything out of love for Krishna, develop a positive attitude of love, and that's perfection. So these chapters explain about that. How to fix the mind upon Krishna, how to become an actual devotee of Krishna, how to worship Krishna, how to be respectful towards Krishna and everything in relation to him. The world is Krishna's energy, Krishna's the director behind it, but he's aloof. And that person who's aloof is the well-wisher of everyone. So we should find out about the person who's not just controlling the material nature, but the person who is the friend of everyone. Any questions? We have 10 minutes, a few minutes left.
Okay. Extend the level of one table, people, Krishna,
giving
the result of the world. How is that
between what?
Extend the level.
understand.
And that can be that for him only.
Giving him the results of the work for Krishna.
Yeah, the other thing
you do is no, just to some good cause. Not to Krishna necessarily, just not getting attached to the result.
Is that
what's that?
Is text
11? Yeah, text 11. Text 10 says sadhana bhakti. Text 11 recommends to give up the results of the work for, to work for Krishna. Text 11 says if you can't do this, then just try and become self-situated. Give up the results to go to some good cause. Not to Krishna, but to some good cause. Something in the mode of goodness.
What is that
Nishkam
Karma Yoga is?
Nishkam Karma Yoga is to do it for Krishna. Having Krishna as the goal, but not being attached to the result. Thinking of Krishna either as Brahman or Paramatma or Bhagavan, working for Krishna. Satkam Karma Yoga is working, but being attached to the results of the work. Wanting to enjoy the result. When they know that Krishna is the goal, but still one wants something material result from Krishna. Addicted to the results of the work. Anything else? Yes.
So the Vaishnava or the devotee, his nature is that he's hoping or seeking to become a means of Krishna's pleasure. Yeah.
Yes.
He's striving to bring that consciousness that I only exist for Krishna's pleasure. And yeah. Everything else is for Krishna's pleasure. So he's all back to that.
But if before attaining that, is it necessary to appreciate Krishna's gratefulness and Krishna's material offices?
Unless we understand Krishna is everything belongs to Krishna, then it's very hard. We can't immediately go on the altar and embrace Krishna. We're not in that. Because we still have that desire to enjoy and control material nature. We have to realize that it is all Krishna's property. Then when we become aloof from that, those desires, then when we hear about how nice Krishna is, we'll be able to actually experience it. Appreciate Krishna in a different way.
We may not have the awareness, we may not have the consciousness, the realization that everything belongs to Krishna, but by being trained or attempting to act in that awareness that is realizing everything to Krishna, then that consciousness awakens.
Yeah. We have to at least theoretically have it though.
Yes. Therefore, appreciating Krishna as Aishwarya,
Yeah, that's the first thing. Therefore, deity worship is not done in spontaneous love, it's done as dutiful work, dutiful service to Krishna. It's done in the mood of Lakshmi Narayan, not Radha and Krishna. Radha and Krishna don't need all the same type of dresses and opulence that we give them.
As a supreme controller, you worship
them. In the mood of Lakshmi Narayan. Which means we don't have love to give them, we just have service to give them. But that service is taken out as love. It's love. Whatever we can do, utilize our energies, that's taken as love for Krishna. Because otherwise we wouldn't make any progress. Because the only way of making any progress is by love. But because we don't have any direct feelings for Krishna right now, therefore offering a service is taken as our manifestation of love at this point.
Dutiful
service. Not that you do whatever you like. Dutiful service under the direction of Krishna and his representatives. Then Krishna takes that as our offering.
Where there's no express lane to jump beyond that.
Yeah, it's chanting Hare Krishna. We do it with love. We're right there. As much as love as we give to Krishna.
I don't know about my depression, but what also means is that there is a class of voice which we don't share. That they think they want to point to develop love for Krishna. So if you can somehow get yourself in a big emotional mood of loving Krishna, everything else is superfluous. And so love counts. And if you somehow arouse those emotions in by doing whatever way you can, then get there quicker.
Oh, that may be true. But they don't, well, we have to follow.
Yeah, of course.
But they don't, that may be true, but they don't do it in the right way. There's a process of doing it. You have to chant Hare Krishna loving them, and that's it. But they don't follow, those people don't follow the regular principles. The ones you're referring to, they just do everything whimsically. At the same time, they think they're going to love Krishna. No, we have to follow the regular principles. And at the same time, we have to develop a sense of love for Krishna. Not artificially, not just rolling on the ground, but actually that sense of love, which is born out of service, which is born here in this particular time, born out of serving Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission. Understanding what that mission is and serving it. Yes.
Why is the bhakti spoken about in the middle of Bhagavad Gita and then at the end? The progression of the yoga letter would seem that the bhakti may be the
same thing, but it's the other one, the jnana. Oh, this is protected by jnana and karma on two sides.
I can't understand it.
Because the essence is put in the middle, just like if you want to have a jelly sandwich, the essence is the jelly. But you have to put two things in to protect it, otherwise the jelly will just get all over you. It's a very nice progression. First, Krishna gives us the qualifications to come to bhakti. Then he tells us what bhakti is. And then he gives us the knowledge by which we can get fixed in bhakti. But if you go through the Bhagavad Gita, you'll find, as Prabhupada has explained, there's nothing but bhakti in the Bhagavad Gita. So it's not that at the 18th chapter, you know, it's just some dry speculative knowledge. We wonder why is, you know, Krishna, why is he speculating at the end? At the end, it's the same thing. Man manabha madvato, madhyayu mam namaskuru, mame vaishasiyu, satyamke pratyajanapriyo. The same thing is repeated in the 18th chapter. Same thing is repeated in the 17th chapter. That anyone who engages in offering, whatever offering or sacrifice or austerity performed without faith in the Supreme is useless both in this life and the next. Everything has to be done with faith in the Supreme. There's nothing but. But as far as direct bhakti yoga, that's directly, that's all the middle six chapters explain about that exclusively. Pure, especially the ninth chapter, it's pure devotional service. Ananya bhakti. Ananya bhakti. That verse 934. But that's also explained in 1865. So it's not that Krishna suddenly started speculating dry philosophy. But in the 13th chapter, Krishna will explain how we can see the material nature so we can come to the conclusion that there's nothing but the soul and the super soul. And therefore we should be respectful to all living entities. And the 14th chapter tells us about the motives, how they're deviating us from that vision, and how if we engage in unalloyed devotional service, we won't become deviated by the motives, by our minds, which we take so valuable and important. Oh, my precious mind and its mood, I have to serve it. And the 15th chapter, Krishna explains how he's maintaining everyone, everything. He's the super soul in the heart, and everything is under his direction, how we should take the pure devotional service, which is the most secret of all the parts of the Vedas. And the one who is engaged in devotional service, he's gotten to the most confidential knowledge. He's the most wise and intelligent. And the 17th chapter, how everything, sacrifice, charity, and penance should be offered to Krishna. Everything we're doing, but especially those things, otherwise, whatever we're doing is useless both in this life and the next. So it's very nice knowledge. So all this supports what Krishna said, man manabhava man bhaktiva. It all supports it. And finally he reaches the same conclusion again after summarizing the 18th chapter. So it's nice to hear about pure devotional service, but we need some intelligence also, some knowledge to support it, so we don't become just sentimentalists. Okay, we'll start with nice teaching this class, however brief. Thank you for your receptivity. See everyone happy in Krishna consciousness. That was no problem really asked for. Just wanted to see everyone smile, happy in Krishna consciousness.
And we got him to do that because he's happy to see people what came to class, they went to the program, they chanted their rounds, they avoided the sinful activities, they studied his book, they tried to preach. Especially Prabhupada was very happy to see people preaching, trying to spread Krishna consciousness. That was the proof that the books were still alive. People had understood what's in the book. They practiced it and then they tried to give it to others based upon the happiness they got from it and their compassion for others. So, nice going over it. And we're probably going over this as long as we're here in the material world. We may go over this again in the spiritual world.
Thank you.
Prasarada Bhagavad Gita, Tita, Tita, Tita.